He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hi to all our listeners on Car Keys. It's in the holiday period around the Northwest Connecticut corner and the rest of the world. And there are some probably driving issues which we may be facing in our corner coming in the next few days from the time this show is done. And that, the word is snow. And we have talked in past shows about driving in snow, but it's time to remind our listeners who will hear this show during this period, that snow be on the roads, may be on the roads when you hear this, or already will have seen snow on the roads when you hear this. And really, I think the two or three areas which one needs to pay attention to in snowy conditions on roads, even when the plows are out dumping salt and all that stuff on them, are the following. Speed. You need to maintain a reasonably slow speed when the roads are not in perfectly dry condition. And you should leave with this speed situation more space between the car in front of you. And hopefully the car behind you will also leave more space when you are driving on roads that are slushy, snowy, slippery, or whatever. The second area is going around corners, which also involves speed. All these things involve speed. And you need to be sure that you are going slow enough when you hit a corner on the road, depending on the sharpness of the corner, so that you don't slide sideways through inertial pressures by losing traction on the road with your tires. And the third area, also including speed, is stopping. Stopping conditions may be longer. We have what we call anti-lock braking on pretty much all the cars on the road today, and they are designed to help the traction of tires improve during stopping conditions. I have another word for that, and that's anti-stop braking, because I find that the tires, when they're turning with the electronic controls, sometimes you would like to have tires maybe stopping and building up a mound of snow or dirt or something in them, and they might stop you faster. But so be it. It's anti-lock braking, and your tires are going to roll you to a stop. But you still need to allow for being in proper slow control conditions, especially going down hills where you're going to intersect with a roadway, be it town or highway, in a T-intersection type of situation, so you don't slide out into the traffic that might be coming along if you can't stop at the stop sign. Jay? What say you?
What say I? A bunch of things. Okay. First of all, yes, snow is coming. The question is whether we have all five. The question is whether we have snow tires. But
yes, good point.
Also, a lot of the modern cars we drive, especially the SUVs, have those little round dials in the middle and can be dialed one way or another to put them into slippery or snow mode. And that will activate ABS and traction control in a more aggressive way than in usual highway.
I want to jump in with that because I don't know what my snow setting in my Jeeps do. I do know that they do start the vehicle up in a higher gear, 1 point higher than normal. So if it would normally start in first gear of the 9-speed transmission that's in the Jeep, it would start in second, theoretically lessening the torque power of the wheels so that they might not skid or slip trying to grab the traction in first gear. When second gear would make it easier for them to do that without too much power. I know nothing about what the braking, anti-lock braking situation is changed in it, and I don't even know how I would figure that out. So, Jay, if you know more about it, that'd be great to know for listeners, because many cars do have these optional road condition additions available in their cars by the turn of a dial or moving a lever or whatever the control is, and they're supposed to adjust the car's power situation for those conditions, be it mud, snow, whatever.
in my Volkswagen, for instance, it's a dial, it's a relatively contemporary car, but not new. It's a 2015, and I know that if I put it in snow mode, if I go down a hill, and a traffic condition and snow, pardon me, I'm in traffic. Talk about that. If the conditions are really slippery and I want to crawl down a steep incline, I just put it in snow mode and the car will literally crawl at walking speed. And you can feel the ABS on each and every single wheel and just slowing the car down.
To what speed if you don't brake?
If I don't brake and I start at 5 miles an hour, it will stay 5 miles an hour.
If you're going 30, however, what does that do?
It'll bring it down to a stop. You almost have to put some gas to not slow down excessively.
So your system is applying the brakes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
The Jeep doesn't do that. And the Jeeps don't do that. And I apply that word Jeeps plurally because it's in all this knob or whatever it's in the newer ones. They may not be a knob anymore. Do not, as far as I know, automatically apply brakes to bring you to a crawled condition. And I don't know what triggers your downhill crawl condition as opposed to being on a flat situation. And again,
all those systems work slightly differently from one car to another. So
right.
It's back to my usual point of whatever car you have, get to know the car and learn what the car can do. Many of us, and here I go on a rant after preaching that we would not go on a rant, learn the vehicle, learn the systems in the car, not only the traction control, but also the lights, the infotainment systems. They're all a little different in the car. And if you have to try to learn the systems while you're driving, it also leads to distracted driving and, a greater risk of getting into a bad situation. So I know I'm going on a tangent here, but as I'm driving a car that I drive early, but that is not my car, I realize as I'm driving it that, there's still things I don't know about it. And if I have to try to focus and figure out how they work while I'm driving in traffic, it's just not a smart and safe thing to do. But back to driving in the snow, there's also, of course, the big question of whether we should have snow tires or not. And, Rob and I think we agree on that. A lot of our cars don't necessarily have snow tires. Good all-season tires are fine if you do not necessarily have to be on the road, at any time, at any particular time, every day, and that you can stay and work from home. And you don't have to go to the hospital during a snowstorm.
Yeah, you wait till the plows are out there clearing the snow, and therefore you have bare pavement, be it slippery, wet, bare pavement, or dry, available for good traction on those non-specific snow tires.
And I think that all-season tires, if you don't have to be on the road imperatively, are fine if you're comfortable with that. My daughter, for instance, just moved to New Hampshire, but she's had a Subaru for 8 or 9 years. She lived in New Haven, never had snow tires before. Now she moved to New Hampshire. I told her, hey, yeah, get snow tires. And she's doing that as we speak. Snow tires, the question is, do you bring your tires, do you bring your car into a shop and have just the tires changed? Or do you get specific rims for your snow tires? And Robin, we can discuss what the best solution is. And I don't think there is a best solution. There's pros and cons to keeping the same rims.
Of it may be purely cost, because rims do cost, in addition to the snow tire the specific snow tires, and they can be burdensome in the cost. I think rims are over $100 a rim. I haven't bought rims recently, but I was surprised at how expensive I thought they were.
But on the other hand, you don't have to switch the tires on and off every time. If you have good tires on your, if your all-season or your summer tires are on your rims and they're in good condition and don't have to change them, you know, why take them off and put them back
right.
on? That costs money,
exactly.
too.
Right.
As opposed to just bolting the wheels on and off.
So,
but storage is an issue, you know, and yeah, cost. But
well,
there's no good or bad solution.
No, but back to the tire situation. Do you get snow-specific tires, or do you live with your what new cars seem to come with for most of the models, unless there's sports-specific or something like that, all-season tires? And which will say on the sidewall, Michelin has an M&S imprint on some of their tires, mud and snow, which means that they are pretty. Those tires specifically, if they've got M&S on them, are specifically designed for snow and off perfect weather conditions. But with the regular tires that may be on your car, one thing we have talked about many times is. Check for your tread depth. It doesn't do any good whether you've got snow tires on or all-weather tires on or any other brand of or type of tires on. If you don't have tread depth, you are at risk of making it very difficult to properly have the car properly handle in non-perfect road conditions.
Correct. And all-wheel drive versus not having all-wheel drive, it doesn't change anything in slowing down the car
or that is
your
correct.
Cornering ability of the car. It helps with traction, yes.
And
so,
it helps on hills, uphill climbs, yes, but not downhill climbs, as you suggested. You will not stop faster with all-wheel drive vehicles, given you have a front-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive vehicle, and you're going downhill at the same speed in any of those three types of cars.
I think the biggest thing when driving in snowy conditions is to be, you know, to be comfortable with the road conditions. Yes, you have a lot less grip, but you should be going a lot slower. I think we need to practice and get comfortable. There's no, you know, once you get comfortable with the car moving a little bit, you know, that's fine.
Well, you could.
People
one
like
could practice.
Enjoy
one
it,
could.
But.
One could practice gently if you're driving by testing the braking situation of your car when no other cars are in front or behind you, and you're going straight as opposed to going around a corner. I wouldn't try this testing on a corner necessarily unless you're very good at driving and you understand it. But you can. Hit your brakes fairly firmly, not to put the anti-lock into action, but just to see whether the tires slide before they grip on the surface you are driving on. And if that's the case, you should probably be reducing your speed, unless you are already at a slow speed for the test. But you would know that your car would not slow down very quickly if the tires were to slide when you first apply them. And this is even with anti-lock braking, although anti-lock braking is designed to keep the tires from sliding in a what might be considered a stabilized non-turning condition. But that's
well,
for the older cars.
To the point of ABS, when ABS came out, and now it's been, you know, close to 40 years. It's actually, it'll be 40 years next year that the first ABS brakes were installed on cars. They've gotten a lot better, but the first generations of ABS would simply not break when you encountered snow or ice, because the sensor that the wheel was the tire was slipping, so it would release the brakes. So you could mash the brakes, and absolutely nothing would happen. Likewise,
right.
with the traction control, you'd get on the gas. And because the traction, the ABS sensors realized that the wheels were spinning, it would just cut the power to the wheels.
Right.
So much for driving in the snow.
So, listeners, if you haven't already experienced snow this season, prepare for it. If you have experienced it but have never tested your driving capability, it'd be a good idea if you really want to know what your car might or might not be able to do, and you do it in with a safe condition, which means mostly there aren't cars in front or behind you, and you're going on a straight surface when you try this, because you don't want to make a sudden change of car movement with somebody behind you, especially, who might not be paying attention to the distance, how close they might be to you if you were to apply the brakes suddenly without warning. Okay, next.
Next. Well, I just pulled in the rest area, so now I can hear everybody better and make a little less noise and focus.
I want to bring up to the listeners that there's a lot going on with the incoming administration about what things are going to cost around the world, and mostly based on possible tariff situations which might occur on imported, since we're a car show, vehicles. The thinking that goes through my head on this is that if you want to buy a car that's imported, you may want to buy it before the tariffs are imposed, or you want to buy it while car dealers have those cars in stock prior to cars that would be coming in after tariffs were imposed by any administration. And they're talking 25% to 35% possible tariffs on incoming products, and that includes vehicles. That's going to happen. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens across the board of purchases come 2025. That's about all I'm going to comment on. Your mind can do the rest, listeners.
Buy American.
Well, that is one good reason to buy American.
That's exactly right.
Especially in the vehicle department.
Can anybody define buy American for me?
Well, you're right.
Way you're implying in this comment that you just made to our listeners.
I mean, are you talking about American
parts? The stickers on windows tell you what the content of American-sourced parts are and not. I think we mean by buy American, many car manufacturers that are not necessarily U.S. have got assembly plants in America, and they will not be subject to tariffs. Maybe the parts coming in, if they come in from an outsource out of the country, will be, but that will not make the cars 25% more expensive, let's say, using the flat rate of tariffs that's been mentioned in news. Some of the components might make the car prices go up even, you know, by as little as $500 or $1,000 over what you might buy the similar car right now. That's all I think we need to talk about in that situation. But it's going to be across the board. It's not going to just be on vehicles.
Well, you don't know that there's going to be any tariffs at all. So
you
it's
don't
a little
know that
premature
yet.
To
there,
be talking.
That first, exactly. I also think that the way car manufacturers function now, I mean, they are worldwide organizations. And if whether it's our tariffs or, you know, for those that are in the EU tariffs or whatever, they have multiple sources
ways around
vendors
it.
And
right.
Yeah, they have the same cars, the same engines, the same transmissions are sometimes made in very different areas of the world, and they can mix and match.
Which they have to do, because let's be real. The United States isn't the only country that uses tariffs. Everywhere,
no.
Tariffs are there. So, you know, you have to switch around accordingly. I just think it's premature to go over the edge and say, oh, buy it now before the tariffs come on. Because we don't know that. You don't know that, and there's no sense in freaking people out for no reason.
No, I think you're right. I think, I don't see much of a change, to be quite honest.
You know, one thing.
I think the changes have more to do with the bigger picture, you know, and the landscape changing automotive world.
Yeah, and that all takes time too. Everything takes time. You know, it doesn't. It's not an instantaneous kick in.
We're at about very slow moving giants.
You know, yeah, and I kind of want to shift gears here for a minute, if you guys are willing, kind of going back almost to the tire thing, but something that relates to it. It's a good time of year to tell people what they should have on board their car in the event they should become stuck in the snow.
Right.
Very good
point. Whether we get 6 feet of snow on roads like they do up in Buffalo, New York, which may be happening right now in Watertown,
yeah,
or whether you just get 2 or 3 inches, I think, Mike, you should make your list appropriate for our particular area.
you certainly need to make sure you have warm blankets and things for warmth. In case you get stuck for a period of time, you're going to have to be able to stay warm. Your body heat will stay with you if you can wrap yourself in a blanket. You need flashlights and such, of course, obviously. So in case it's evening, you can see. I'm trying to think of other things you would have on board.
Well, on board, I would say liquid.
Liquids, yeah.
Because you'd want to, which would be water. Aside from on board, inboard, you want to have an adequate amount of gasoline in your tank if you're going to go out and drive.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this stuff, Mike, would be attributable, especially if you're going on an interstate trying to get from, let's say, here to Buffalo or here to New York or here to Washington, and there was a blizzard across the Northeast, and you really weren't going to stay home, which you should probably do as the first line of defense, is just not go out. But being that people do go out, and if you slide off the road and into a snowbank and there's nobody around to tow you out and you can't get help and the traffic piles up, you can continue with this list, Mike.
Yeah, now you're camping. So, you know, you should probably have some foodstuffs in, non-perishable things that you keep in the car. I mean, I know some places they actually have kits you can purchase that have necessities in them, because you never know what's going to happen, especially like Robin's, you're out in a snowstorm and suddenly you're off the edge of the road and you're stuck and there's nobody to give you a hand. So now you're camping. That's what you're doing.
Right. And along with that is, if you do get in a line of traffic that gets basically paralyzed on the road, back to my comment about you should always start out with a fairly full supply of petrol or gasoline in your car, because if you have to idle there waiting for somebody to come and either go by with a plow or somebody to come and get you out, you use gas up slowly but surely as you have the heater running and all that.
If it's going to be any late,
it would be good to have a box of crackers or anything that, something, health bars or that kind of thing, and that don't take up much room.
A full charge on your phone.
Yep.
Full charge on your phone if you can't have it plugged in while your car is running to keep it charged. Go ahead. Anybody can chime in.
Yeah, it's essentially, if you're getting ready to roll out into stormy condition, my go-to is always stay the hell home, because, you know, there's nothing so intense in my life that I need to go out on the roads. But, you know, some people have that need. You need to have everything ready, like you're saying, the full charge on the battery, a full tank of gas, all of the things that you should have in the event that you get stuck, because no matter how good you are, it's very conceivable you could end up over the bank and stuck, or stuck in traffic. And what are you going to do?
A new battery in the car once in a while if you haven't changed the battery in a few years.
Yeah.
How much time?
It's good to check your batteries and stuff, you know, probably on an annual basis. And most of the auto parts places will do that for you at no charge.
Free. That's correct. They will. I was recently at a AutoZone place the other day, and it said free battery checks.
Yep.
For you, and I happen to have a tool in my car to check the battery condition by putting the hood up and connecting it, and there's a green, yellow, and red light, and depending on what light comes up when you connect it, it tells you the condition of your battery.
That's good. And you know, thinking about these things as well, we're going into winter, your antifreeze, things to make sure.
And windshield washer fluid.
Windshield washer, your windshield wiper blades.
I know, I'm driving a car with no windshield fluid.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
That's bad. That's bad. So,
drives me nuts.
There are so many things to check going into the winter, you know, and sadly enough, the new cars with all this gadgetry, which I really don't, I'm a technology person, but I hate all of it. You get this sense of, oh, the car takes care of everything for me, you know? It'll take care of its windshield washer fluid. It'll take care of its battery. What do I need to know?
All that and more.
Yes, exactly.
Just as an anecdote, I was watching some YouTube video of some guy driving a Rolls Royce in Dubai. In Dubai, you don't go put petrol or gasoline in your car. You call the petrol truck, and the truck delivers the gasoline to your car.
Wow. I like it.
Anyway.
AAA, they call it.
AAA will do that, except that AAA won't be anywhere near you when you're stuck in a storm, and you'll never be front in line if you try to call AAA and think they're ever going to show up.
And that's it. And
a rope in your car is not a bad idea either.
Yep, rope, chain.
Correct.
Even, a chain.
Tow rope, a nylon tow rope
that's
good to be towed out if somebody with a truck comes by and has a hook and could get you out of a snowbank. That's
well,
a
you know,
good
even
thing.
Even a pack in the back of your car where you have a hat and an extra coat and things like that. Because then again, once you're stuck, you're camping, folks, and you need to have all your stuff with you and ready. And it doesn't hurt to have some kind of a supply bag in that car that you'll have in the event this happens.
Having said all this, we're going to have a winter where we'll have a total of 3 inches of snow.
No, totally, and not need any of it. So we've given you potential psychological projection of preventing this from happening.
Well, we just want to make sure you're ready for what may come. Right?
Okay.
And speaking of such, it may be the end of the show already.
Okay.
All right.
Well, next week, we are Car Keys with Jay,
Mike,
and
Robin. I will be
here
next week.
Jay will not be on the road next week. He will be in person. Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, Robinhoodradio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.